This is a story which we heard from our daughter. She heard it from the subject's best friend. So it's two steps removed. A woman came to Eretz Israel after the Holocaust with many other survivors. A very bright, well-educated, sophisticated, deeply religious from a woman. And she wanted to get married. A shidduch was suggested, and she agreed to it. Marriage took place. And when she went home, she discovered that the man whom she had married was very simple. Not well educated. And very simple. And her first thought was, I don't know how this happened, but this isn't me. How can I go through life with a marriage partner who's totally unsuited to me? And then she said, if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized, if this is what the Hashgacha provided, then this is my tafkid. So this is what she did. There was a shul near the house. She went to the rabbi and she said, I want you to learn Ein Yaakov with my husband. I'll pay you. Ein Yaakov is stories from the Gemara. I used to sit with the rabbi. The rabbi would explain the stories to him. Then she said to the rabbi, I want you to take my husband and make him the shamash in the shul. Open the shul in the morning, set up the tea and the coffee, arrange the svarim at night, put things away, close it up. Then she started Gemilas Chasadim. She herself collected money, collected food, and distributed it to families. And then at a certain point she said to her husband, it's getting too hard for me. It's too much to do. The burdens are too heavy. Help me. And for a while he helped her. And little by little, she worked him into the entire project. And that's how they lived for decades. And then he was nifter. Sometime later, she became ill and she was going into the end of her life. Now, this friend of hers attended her in the hospice where she spent her last weeks and died. This woman said to her friend, in a little while, I'm coming before Kisei HaKavod. I have no worries. I gave my husband Torah. The rabbi learned with him. I gave him avoda. He provided for the shul. I gave him Gemilas Chasadim. I have no worries before the Kisei HaKavod. We heard a lot from Rabbi Cohen, from Rabbi Feiner, about living your emuna and seeing what's really important and being willing to make sacrifices. But the impression I get from the story, and as you can see, I can't tell the story without crying. The impression I get from the story was, she didn't see this as giving up, but having a great opportunity to do something for another human being, and thereby do something for Kodesh Baruch Hu, building Kodesh Baruch Hu's world. This is inspired, impassioned emuna. How can we get there? Or better, how can we move in that direction? There is a pattern of development the pre-tzaddik describes. Gemara talks about a person who's lost in the desert, loses track of time. What shall he do about Shabbos? Of course, malachas he doesn't do any day, and stuff like the mefashas he can do every day. The question is, one day should be set aside to have the pattern of Shabbos, kiddush, some kind of something to eat. And there's 2 days in the Gemara. One is, whatever day he realizes he's lost, the next day should be Shabbos. That's taken from Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon was Nivra B'Yom Shishi, and the next day was Shabbos. The other possibility is to count 6 days, and then make the seventh day Shabbos, like it says in the Seder of Dibros. The split in the halachas of the pre-tzaddik is a split in two concepts of Shabbos. And he says, when Chazal say Yilmalei Shomer Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Miyad Migolim, it's these two Shabbosos. The Aseres Hadibros tells us Shesh Yisrael Mitavog Yisizukom Lachtecha V'Yom Shishav Shalom Lachecha. It takes 6 days of preparation to make a Shabbos. Where do you get the koach to use the 6 days to prepare for the Shabbos? That koach comes from the previous Shabbos. There's no way to start with 6 days. Adam Rishon has to be created on Yom Shishi because he can't start. He needs an injection of Shabbos to be able to start the 6 days. So each week is a double cycle. The Shabbos comes in as a result of last week's efforts and gives you the koach to make next week's efforts. And ideally, it's a spiral, it's an upward spiral where each cycle puts you on a slightly higher level. Because the preparations last week gave you a Shabbos, which gives you a higher level to prepare in the next week. This is a pattern of development in Ruchnius in general, that it requires effort, investment, time, intelligence, creativity, and then there are thresholds of accomplishment. A new kavana, a new commitment, a new hisgabras on a yetzahara that before would have tripped a person up, and now it's possible to overcome it. And that new level then becomes the platform for the new next effort of extending oneself. And one place where this is crucial for building impassioned emunah is tefillah. The Kuzari says that tefillah is food for the neshama. You eat breakfast. For good breakfast, satisfied. Do you know when you're eating lunch? Oh, yes, you do. You don't walk out of breakfast not knowing where you're going to eat lunch. And you don't walk out of lunch not knowing where you're going to eat supper. Because the next meal is important. And I've got it planned out. Where, when, with whom. How should you feel when you take 3 steps back in Shabbos? You should feel, when is Mincha? When's Mincha coming? Because I got my injection of Ruchnius now, when's the next one coming? It should be so precious that a person should feel that he's waiting for the next injection. How can it be so precious? We need to understand what tefillah is, and then I'm going to give you a suggestion how to deepen our understanding of what tefillah is. The goal of all life, says the Ramchal, is dveikus. Dveikus b'Hashem. An attachment, a connection, a feeling of closeness to a Kodesh Baruch. Dveikus is an august, far distant goal. The highest level of dveikus is nevuah. How many people were there as nevim, succeeded in accomplishing nevuah? The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this is the goal, I want you to work for it. It'll be proportional to your efforts, except, because Baruch Hu says, I love you. And I want you to have dveikus free of charge, free of effort, 3 times a day. 3 times a day, I'm available to you on your level, yesterday's level, tomorrow's level, higher levels, lower levels. It feels like the door is open. You can come to me, you can talk to me, you can be together with me. You take the 3 steps forward. You're taking the 3 steps forward to the Kisei HaKavod. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear from you. It's a precious, precious opportunity. It's an example. It's a feeling of a connection which the rest of the day you can say, okay, so even I could do it. Even I could do it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts it from me. And then the struggles to do it in the rest of life become at least with a platform to start from. Very interesting, this the structure of tefillah. The shevach, bakasha, and hodoya. So the natural thought is, you come before a melech, the purpose of tefillah is bakasha. You come to ask, but you don't just ask. Give shevach to say, I have some understanding of who I am, who you are, kevayochol, how we're related. I'm taking that into account. Then you make your bakashos, and then you state your hodoya. It's not obvious why hodoya comes at the end. Seems to me, if I were coming to a melech to make a bakasha, I would say, first of all, mishabayach you. Second of all, I would say thank you for all the things you've given me up until now, show my gratitude, and then ask for things that I need now. Why would the Hadoya come at the end? I saw it written in the Shulchan Kodosh that every tefillah that a Jew makes is always answered yes. Every tefillah is always answered yes. Maybe not yes right away. Maybe not yes in exactly the form that one asked. Maybe yes for your children or for your grandchildren. But no tefillah is ever turned away. No sincere tefillah is ever turned away. It's always answered yes. I was shocked. And then I thought, so that's why the Hodoya comes at the end. Because the Hodoya in the tefillah is not for what he gave me 6 months ago. The Hodoya is for the fact that I asked for something now and he said yes now. And then, I think it was my son Nehemiah who showed me that the Gemara in Brachos. But the Gemara in Brachos says, when you take the 3 steps back, at the end of the Shemona Esrei, it's like an Eved HaMakabel Pras Merabo. So Chazal is saying, you're stepping back like an Eved who got what he asked for from his master. So the Gemara is telling you, yes, you got it. You got it. But there's a Tanai. This I saw in Rav Matisyahu, which should be well, Solomon Sefer. The Gemara talks about two people who were on their deathbeds. And they both davened. And one lived and one died. And the Gemara says that the difference was that one davened at Tefillah Shleima, the other davened didn't daven at Tefillah Shleima, and Rashi says, Tefillah Shleima is a Tefillah Kavanah. Now, Rabbi Tassio said, it's very hard to understand this Gemara. They're dying. One of them didn't have Kavanah in his Tefillah to stay alive? How could that be? People who are dying. And he said, one ingredient in Kavanah, a necessary ingredient, is to understand that your tefillah can make the difference. Could very well be, of course it's not guaranteed because Baruch Hu has his cheshbonos, but it could very well be that tefillah that you're making now is the difference between it's happening and not happening. You're davening for somebody else, you're davening for yourself. If you're standing before the judge, and the judge says, I'm giving you an opportunity to make a plea, and I will take it into account, how would you make that plea? How would you feel? Would you have any difficulty concentrating? Would there be any foreign thoughts that would distract you from what you're saying? This is your chance. It might be life or death. It might be freedom or imprisonment. It might be financial disaster. Here's your chance to make a plea. Said Rabbi Tisyahu, the one who died in the Gemara was sickly, deathly sick, and he was praying for his life, but he didn't believe that the tefillah could make the difference. And this could be built in to what the Shloss says and what the Gemara says. Yes, my tefillah, I'm guaranteed to get a yes if it's a tefillah shlema, a tefillah kavanah. I have to understand that this could make the difference. And take it and focus on it in that way. That's a real Dveikus. It's a measure of Dveikus in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If that's the way one feels when one davens. My suggestion is that I tell this to the boys in the yeshiva who aren't even yet from, and I tell it to you in the same spirit. There are many, many Pirushim on tefillah. Dedicate yourself. Twice a week, 5 minutes. Take out a Pirush on Shemona Esrei. Take an idea, and then make a notation in your sitter for that idea, on which words it goes, so that the next 6 times, 9 times you daven, that will be there. And then each week there'll be 2, in a year there'll be 100, and they'll interact with one another. And in that way, your tefillah will become much richer. And your sense of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be more alive. And I say this to both the men and the women, even though it's not equal. The Ezra of Chaim Kanievsky 1 year, what about saying Tillim on Tisha B'Av? And he said, the women are allowed and the men are forbidden. The reason is because, he said, the women daven Tehillim, and the men learn Tehillim, and learning is usher. So if you're thinking about the meanings, but the thinking about the meanings can draw you in also. And then the meanings interact with one another. And I'll leave you, because I was given strict time requirements, I will leave you with one final thought about tefillah as an example of what you can get. The word Baruch, quite a complicated, difficult word in the Svarim and in its dikduk. Baruch is taken by some, the Rashba, the Ein Yaakov, to mean the makor of bracha. Of course, because Baruch is the makor of bracha. You are the one who gives bracha to the world. But the Nefesh HaChaim says you could take it as a nifal. Baruch means a recipient of bracha. Say to the Rosh Baruch Hu that you receive bracha. What could that mean? Bracha means something that's good for you, makes you better, improves your condition. We even have this in English. We talk about a blessing in disguise. It means it didn't look good, but it really was, because blessing is always good by definition. It just was in disguise. How could a Baruch Hu receive something good? From whom would he receive it? But Chazal say, Ezeru Chassid, Amis Chassid Im Kono. A real Chassid is someone who does Chesed to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? So, we could spend 3 hours on it, but I have 3 minutes. The bottom line is, what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants is what is, so to speak, good for him. His Ratzon. A person who dedicates himself to a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is doing Chesed to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, what does he want? He wants to give to us. But he wants to give to us on a certain condition. A condition where the matana will be a matana shleima. And to be matana shleima, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to make ourselves into a kli kibul that can receive the matana in the best possible way. You also know the phrase Nahama Daksufa. You can put all of that in here. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what I want from you? Kindalach. Bonai. What I want from you is, make yourself into the kli kibul so I can give you what I want to give you. The bracha we give to him is the ability that he should give a bracha to us. The word baruch carries this double mutual relationship, a relationship of mutual bracha. He's being mevarach us and we're being mevarach him. And when it's b'shlemus, with an issurus to the lasata, we create in ourselves the readiness, the potential to receive from him what he wants to give to us. Now, when you start the Shmona Esrei, tomorrow morning in Shabbos, take 2.5 seconds to say Baruch and think, Ribono Shel Olam, we are in a partnership of mutual bracha, and I want to do for you what will enable you to do for me in the best possible way. If you have an ongoing relationship with tefillah, where you get insights like that over and over again, and they interact with one another, that tefillah can become richer and richer. You can look forward. Wow, I saw that yesterday. In Mincha, I'm going to think about it again. Maybe I'll get something more out of it. You'll be looking forward to the tefillah. The tefillah will be a sense of connection, and that connection can enrich one's emunah. And when you put yourself into your tefillah, and your family into your tefillah, and your community into your tefillah, and Klal Yisrael into your tefillah, then that dveikus, that emunah, embraces the whole of Klal Yisrael. That's the goal. That we stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu in tefillah, we should represent all of Klal Yisrael. That's why all the tefillahs are in the Lashon Rabbin. And then, the emunah is something that carries us together with all of Klal Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the strength, the inspiration, and the insight to be able to build this impassioned immunity into ourselves, and by so doing be an example to our families and our communities to raise up the level of Klal Yisrael to be able to greet Mashiach.
Thank you very much. I would like very briefly maybe just to take this discussion And what I sense here, the passion that does really exist to maybe just a bit of a different level. The Rachayim HaKodesh in Parshas B'Shalach has a question. HaKodesh, but Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalel, Paro is pursuing the Klal Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael, as they stand before the Yam Suf, and the danger is acute. What should they do? Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalel. In a very strange pasuk, it says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ma titzak elai, Daber el Bnei Yisrael Yisro." Hashem says to Moshe, "What are you calling out to me? Speak to Bnei Yisrael and tell them to go into the Yam." And the Orachayim asks, he says, "Ma titzak elai? To whom should we cry out? To whom should we pray if not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?" And he says that by space there was some type of a kitrik. There was some inability of their tefillahs to be accepted because of what had gone on in Mitzrayim and maybe their engagement with Avodah Zorah. And therefore, now tefillah would not help. They're surrounded on one side by Paroi, the other side the Yam Suf, both sides the wild animals. What should they do? There was one Eitzah, even beyond the power of tefillah. And that was Daber el Bnei Yisrael Yisro, and he says, the emuna and the bitochin. The emuna that it takes to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can split a sea and save us despite the raging waters, and prevent our enemies from pursuing us further, and the bitochin that it's in fact going to happen, going into a raging sea, just knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to let us fall, is not going to let us drown. And I think that that ingredient of bitochin is really the next step in firing up that passion. In fact, I dare say that, in a sense, the emuna is intellectual. The emotional is the bitochin. When the emuna enters the heart, and it affects my life, and it gives me the confidence to go through my life knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me and protects me and takes care of me, and I can rely on Him and count on Him for everything, what more do I need? And that seems to be of koyach beyond tefillah, and everything we heard about the power of tefillah, this is going even beyond. And there's a very beautiful medrash I just want to share with you for a moment. It's the Yalkut Vot, the Yalkut Shemoini. And the Medrash says, "Bishor Yisrael nichnosim letzora. Klal Yisrael enters in tzora. Hey, moimrim laKodesh Baruch Hu, goharison, redeem us. HaKodesh Baruch Hu omer lahem, yesh lechem yirei shomayim? Do you have any God-fearing people? Hey, moimrim lishaovar. In the past we had bimei Moshe, bimei Yeshua, bimei Dovi, bimei Shmuel. Aval achshav." Kol she'onu hoylchim hi machsheches lonu vohimeches. Gets worse and worse every generation. We don't have such people anymore, Yirei Shemayim. Omer lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bichu bishmi v'hu oimed lochem. Trust in my name, and that will stand you well. She'nemar yiftach b'shem Hashem. V'lomo, Chazal say, shekol mi sheboiteach bishmi ani matzilot. Anyone and everyone who puts his trust in me, now trust is not just intellectual. Intellectually, I know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do. I know what He wants to do. I know about chesed olam chesed yibone. I know about everything. But do I feel? Am I afraid? And I'm not zich. I don't have the Yirei Shemayim. Ain't bo the Yirei Shemayim. L'sheovar. We had Yirei Shemayim. Today we don't have that. We don't feel it. Bitchu bishmi. I'll take care of you. Because once again, shekol mi shebeitech bishmi ani matzilot. And the Chofetz Chaim writes, and I brought this, I quoted this today, just to read it again. It isn't an absolute, and he's speaking about Rabbi Machoyim L'Rosho V'Habaytech B'Hashem Chesed Yisoyf Avenu, on which Chazal say Afilo Rosho U'Baytech B'Hashem Chesed Yisoyf Avenu, even a Rosho who puts his trust in Hashem, Chesed will surround him, U'Lefi Goydel habitochin kein goydel ha'atzlocha.
To the degree that the bitochin is strong, it's to that degree the hatzlocha.
It isn't all or nothing.
We may not be on the level of Yerushalayim to deserve. We may not even be on the level of bitochin to be there absolutely, to reach the highest levels. But to whatever degree that we have internalized emotionally the concept of Emun of Hashem, and Hashem's Metzios, and Hashem's Yecholes, and Hashem's Chesed, it's to that degree that we begin to feel a certain level of trust, to that degree we influence the Hatzlocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. There's one more ingredient that I think is very, very disturbing sometimes. And I think the Pasuk in Iyov really describes this the best. After Iyov spent 38 prokim trying to figure out why he suffered so much in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, "Vayomer Hashem al Iyov, Eifo hayisa biyosti oretz? Were you around at the time of creation? Do you know all of the considerations and all of the cheshbonos? Do you see that whole tapestry upstairs from the beginning of time to the end? And without that broader perspective, without the perspective of a continuum, that means every moment of this world continues on to the next generation, and even beyond to eternity. Without that perspective, life becomes too overwhelming. Life becomes too difficult. I'll never forget, we were sitting Shiva many years ago in Yerushalayim. My mother-in-law, she didn't be well, very, very big tzaddikis, standing in the kitchen and saying, "Anit de emuna, volt mit gonish gekento ishalten. If not for the emuna, we couldn't exist in this world. And the emuna takes us from this world to the eternity, and it's all one. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no distinction. It starts from creation, and it goes on l'netzach." And with that perspective, it makes it easier to deal with the difficulties of life, and not to be deterred or unnerved or depressed or worried that it's just not penetrating. This will help it to penetrate, because there's a broad eternity that we're dealing with. And the reason that I